the grunge thing, you know.
Oh yeah.
Everybody wanted to move to Seattle.
Well, that's where all the next big things were popping out of at that time, like the early 90s and stuff.
And then what was the next thing? The Epitaph thing was the LA thing. Epitaph got real big. When the grunge thing was here, the hair bands were in the 80s. Punk was still here. But
Punk went through some weird, because I remember, like, I loved punk in the late 70s.
Right.
Early 80s, punk was still punk. Mid 80s, a lot of the punks started, they either went to play rock and roll, like straight rock and roll.
Like TSOL.
Or they went to play, they experimented with speed metal. But you could not get a punk rock record anymore.
No.
Like, there was a period in the 80s where it was almost impossible to buy a fucking punk rock record.
Right. It was crossover. Remember?
It was.
Everything was crossover.
It sucked because it was like there was nobody playing punk anymore.
Yeah, DRI went from punk to metal, which I like DRI. They're good guys.
Yeah.
But they had a crossover.
But it was just frustrating because, like, you wanted to hear good punk rock, and it's like, it's going, okay, where is it? And it was still being made underground, but it was like a lot of the bands that you were used to hearing
are like metalheads. Like TSOL, when Jack left that band, the singer, this is like, I think in the middle 80s, he gave it up. He said, I'm out of here. And his brother-in-law, I forget his name, the second singer, that's his brother-in-law, I forget his name, took over the band. This is when the Guns N' Roses was barely coming out in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They went rock and roll, like Guns N' Roses, TSOL did.
Yeah.
And didn't fly too good. A lot of those bands were doing that.
A lot of them, yeah. And I was kind of if you're really into the music, to have this a complete genre shift that didn't, I think what it was is the genre shifts oftentimes didn't feel authentic.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you just didn't feel like they were playing something from their heart anymore. They were playing something like, well, we want to appeal to a bigger audience.
Yeah, that's.
And it seemed to kill pretty much every audience.
It did, man. They didn't know. I mean, there's a funny story about Bad Religion. When their first couple of albums came out, it was just great music. Well, what's his name? The guitar player from Bad Religion. He owns Epitaph. I forget his name.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, I forget the dude's
Brett
name.
Gerwitz.
Yeah, there he goes. Brett Gerwitz. They put out this record, and they're having these big ads and billboards and blah blah blah. Brett must have been on crack, or he must have been on drugs or dope. He puts keyboards in it. Puts synthesizers in it. All this monstrosity crap. Then when the OC kids got there, they go, what the fuck? That actually, this is a true story. Brett actually went the best of his knowledge to get all those records back and destroy them.
Wow.
That's thousands and thousands of records. So if you have one today, it's like worth a couple hundred dollars. It's bad. It's really, really
still bad. Not worth listening to, but it's worth money.
Yeah, it's just horrible. And the cover is like a psychedelic swirlies of covers. Like, what was he thinking?
Well, there's a point where these bands went so far off track that it's almost they should have come up with a different name to really, you know, like, and the Damned did that once. They did the Naz Nomad album.
Which
was rock and all. Total 60s psychedelic pop music.
Absolutely, man.
And they changed, they actually picked up a different, and it worked.
It worked.
And it worked way better than if they would have called it the Damned.
Yeah, because if it was the Damned, you go,
But it was so cool as Naz Nomad and the Nightmares. It was like, oh, this fucking rocks.
I love the name, too. It was kind of cool. You know?
Yeah,
you
it's kind of poking fun of themselves, too.
It is. Just, I mean, I love the Damned. Those guys are just
amazing.
They're timeless.
Yeah.
You know, those guys. That's what I miss about bands now is the bands of the Clash. I really miss those guys.
Yeah.
I miss the Sex Pistols. If they ever do another record, don't buy it. Because it won't be worth it.
Oh yeah.
Because they've already captured that, and I like, you know, that was it. They captured one album one legit album is the Bollocks.
Yeah.
That's the best. Every fucking song's the best. Every song. It's like amazing. So if they went out and did another record like that, it wouldn't sound like that.
Well, I don't think that they have the chemistry anymore either. I mean, I think that
You
know, I heard. Lou Reed got back together with the Velvet Underground a number of years ago. And the early Velvet Underground albums I like because it was just that you can hear the time period in there. It's like everything's syncing together. They're all in that same place together. And I like some of his newer stuff. But when he tried to do Lou Reed today sing the Velvet Underground,
mm-mm.
it was so flat because there was no soul in it. There was no spirit in it.
No, just, there's no soul because they've already did that. They didn't have Nico because Nico wasn't that
yeah.
bad. They didn't have the setup on stage. Like they used the technology amplifiers and all, like, you know, the real fancy amplifiers. Back then they were using silver tones and anything to get the hands off. They're banging pots and pans and really making it work. But when you change all that, different amplifiers and different, it just doesn't get that vibe.
Well, I think the thing is, as artists, I think you fundamentally change at a certain point mm-hmm. in your life where you can't.
Yeah.
Something that worked for you as an artist may not work for you anymore. And there's a point where it's like, either let it go, you move on. Maybe you can go back to it someday, but it's like.
But it's not going to fly. I mean, it just doesn't fly. I mean, I talked to a kid last night at the show, at the Red Devil I played last night. And he had a Misfits t-shirt on. You know, he had a... But it was kind of funny. He had a Misfits t-shirt on, and he had X's on his hand, like straight edge. And his friend had a Fugazi t-shirt. And he had X's. You know, those straight edge. I didn't know that still existed.
Yeah. I think things exist, but it's...
Is it like trying to be hip again? Like they might have got a book and looked at it. What's these X's? And now they're wearing that? Or
I think that the challenge sometimes is you actually have to ask people what things mean to them now.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that a lot of things that had meaning for us back in the day really mean. I think people just kind of adapt things as they feel like it. So
but
did you talk to those guys?
Yeah, I talked to that one guy. And I was talking to the kid with the Fugazi t-shirt. And he's all... Really cool guy. He had a bunch of earrings and shit in his face. Like it looked like a tackle box, all this shit. You know? So I go, are you straight edge? And he didn't know what I was talking about. He goes, what? I go, those X's, are you straight edge? And then the kid came in with the Misfits shirt and he started talking about straight edge. And he made sense because like, he knew he must have got that book out and really, you know, it's like the Bible, man. Because you cannot drink. They don't want you to drink, smoke.
They don't even want you to eat meat anymore, I guess.
No meat.
No sex.
They don't like, they're homophobic. They're really against all that shit. And when I said, you're wearing a Fugazi shirt, right? Yeah. You like Fugazi? He goes, oh, yeah, they're great. Makai, punk rock. I go, yes, he's punk rock. He's also gay. He's, but your straight edge people don't like gay people. I was being a fucking dick, man. I was being such a dick. I had him in a corner. And he goes, no, man, you don't understand. I go, well, enlighten me, you know. He just didn't make sense to me. Finally, he told me, you're an old man. You don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here. So those are the kind of things I catch people on. And that's the way I am. I'm kind of a retard like that.
That's funny because I saw there was this guy I know who's total goth guy, you know, whereas... The whole look, you know, the crosses and the dark, the whole thing. And Peter Murphy was coming to town.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, that would be my reaction.
So all the ghouls and everybody's coming out.
So I asked him, I said, hey, I'm going to the Peter Murphy show. Do you want to go with me? He's like, who?
Are you kidding me?
I said, you know, the singer for Bauhaus. Who?
What?
Like, dude, you tell me you're a goth. I mean, this guy I self-identifies as a goth. I'm like, he's like, there's gothic music? I was like, yeah, that's where your fashion came from.
That's where,
really?
Yeah.
I mean, and it kind of just fizzled from there because like he just didn't care, you know?
You just want to educate him because, you know, it's probably the whole Hot Topic thing they see online.
Yeah.
You know, the whole garb and stuff, and it just kind of drives you nuts sometimes, you know? And I don't even want to educate kids anymore because sometimes they're so stupid.
Well, a couple of years ago, I was at a Buzzcock show with some friends of mine, and there was these young punk rockers in the crowd, and you know, with the all dressed up and everything. And one of them says to his friend, "He goes, what the fuck is it with all these old people here?" And we started laughing so hard.
Well, look at the Buzzcocks.
The oldest people there were the fucking Buzzcocks,
you know? Man. those guys are in their fucking 50s or better.
But you know what's cool? I'm teaching now, right? And one of my students.
Yeah.
Is her and her mom go to see punk rock shows together? And I think that's so cool.
I think that's awesome.
You know,
I think that's great. I mean,
so.
I got nephews that are punk rockers, and you know, just that, I guess, I don't even like using that word, punk rockers. I hate using that word. He's a punk rocker.
Well, you don't know what it means anymore.
I don't even know what the fuck it means.
Because it's like those guys, you got to go talk to them and go, so what does your fashion mean to you?
Yeah, what's your flavor of the day? Let me see. I don't even know what the new bands are today. I don't know. I don't get it. When you get these Treasure Island shows, or you get that.
We spent an hour here one night looking at the fucking computer
at these
Treasure Island shows, and we're like, who the fuck are these? And so we actually went and we listed every band, and I have to say, without a doubt, they all suck.
They were the whole.
It was fucking awful.
It's all like,
actually would have been good. None of it was that good.
It was bad. Yeah, who are these fucking bands? Or Land's End's another thing.
Well, what's weird is like, I'm going like, when I was that age, of the people I'm assuming are going to see these shows, like, I was also drinking and doing drugs, and I'm like, listening to this music, I'm going, this would ruin my fucking high so bad. Like, I would be just...
I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean...
Do people go to these big shows? They sell out?
I don't know. I'll never go.
Dude, I mean, this fucking other thing, the Bluegrass Festival, which I like bluegrass, man. I like a lot of music, but when you have a guy, it's a bluegrass festival, but you have a guy, the rapper guy, I Can't Touch This, or what's that rapper's name?
MC Hammer?
He was at... 2 years ago at the Bluegrass Festival, singing. I was baffled. What? And he was singing, you know, he sang some church songs. He's a church guy now.
Right.
But he did do Can't Touch This. And everybody went nuts. And he sang right after, he was like the fifth act before Emmylou Harris. And before that was some jug band.
Maybe they just put him there to remind everybody how good bluegrass really is. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to do that. You know,
it's, yeah, that's true.
Throw in that wild card and be like, look, just in case you forgot how cool this is where you could be. This is where music could be right now. You know?
MC Hammer. I have nothing against MC Hammer, but it's just the way things are made. I mean, back in the... In the 70s, when Bill Graham presents, used to do the Winterland, the Fillmore, and the big Days on the Green, he used to put weird bills together. At first, I used to go, they don't make sense. But then it made sense. Because I remember one time, one of the weirdest bills I ever seen, it was a Day on the Green in Oakland Coliseum. It was Sting, when he had his first solo, whatever. Sting, The Who, and The Grateful Dead. I was going, fuck, this is weird. So when you have Sting up there doing his La La stuff and some of the Police songs, people going, yeah. The Who comes on, they're banging on that guitar with Keith Moon.
Oh, yeah.
And all the fuckers on acid and shit, they're at this point. I seen the reaction. They're like freaking. And when The Dead came on, it was like, everybody was sleeping, but everybody's dancing and twirling. It was just a weird fucking thing. So I think of today, if I had that concert right now, that same three bands, I'd throw on Motorhead. Fuck things up. You know what I mean? Because you get tired.
Actually, I would take off the Grateful Dead and put on Motorhead. I'm sorry, but I never liked the Grateful Dead.
I never liked those guys. I mean, I never liked those guys.
And while we're at it, let's put Cell Block 5 in Sting's place and just make this a good time. Come on now.
Okay.
Let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, letting Sting stay on the bill at that point would just piss people off. Probably start a fucking riot before The Who even gets on stage, you know?
Throw things at her.
I mean, you probably couldn't even assure that show, you know? They'd be like, they're like, oh, so you really want Sting to play with Motorhead and The Who? You know,
no.
Even Lloyds of London probably wouldn't take that one.
Oh, God, no. So
anyway,
yeah.
Before I we could talk all night.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And we probably will. But let's go back to Dave.
Oh, okay,
let's go back to Dave Dalton.
I'm yapping too much.
Yeah, I can go. It's...